Well, good afternoon, good evening, and even good morning to a number of you. Welcome back to day three of our fifth WordPress Dev Camp here at WP Studio. Today has been set aside to focus on search engine optimization within WordPress, and specifically focusing on three different areas. Every day, I'm trying to have three main areas to focus on. And so today, it's yes, we're understanding the fundamentals of SEO, specifically within the confines of WordPress. We're going to learn how to use SEO Studio to kind of get results. And then throughout today, we're going to hopefully be addressing some of the pitfalls and challenges that WordPress presents to SEO, because there are some areas of WordPress or ways of using WordPress that can be detrimental to SEO, and we'll look at ways that we can go around that. Now, before we get started in that direction of working with SEO, I did say at the end of last session that I would spend the first part of today's session going through and demonstrating all five of the homework challenges from day one and day two. So we're going to go through that really quickly. So I'm going to just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. On day one, the first challenge was to create a template page in our theme folder that will display the Hello World post in a completely different style. So what we would do is, and I'm going to get rid of the ones that we were using in the test ones, so that we'll be all the way back at a default understanding of our theme. And I'm going to also be using the child theme to do this. So our concept is, okay, if we're wanting to demonstrate the Hello World post, I'll just go over to the front page and let's get, where's Hello World? That's kind of weird. Where's our Hello World post? Okay, here's our Hello World post. We need a way to demonstrate this completely different from everything else. So in order for me to do that, I am going to use you can always refer back to our WP hierarchy idea where I'm looking at single post Hello World for my slug. I can do that. So to choose which one I want to use, I'm going to come over here to our single.php, and I'm going to go ahead and just copy-paste this. I'm copying this. This is from the parent theme. So then I go to my child theme, and we are going to create a new file. And this file is going to be exactly as I just showed you on WP Hierarchy, single post Hello World. Because again, single refers to that type of template hierarchy. Post is the type of custom post type. Hello World is the slug. Once I have that in our, I hope it went there. Let me refresh. There it is, single post hello. I'm now going to paste this in here and let's modify this slightly. And I'm just, rather than my get template part, I am going to get rid of that. We're not going to pull in the traditional stuff. I just want to prove that now I'm in the proper place. You have completed challenge number one. So all I've done is I've just stopped PHP from running within the loop, and we're going to demonstrate that. All right, we save this, and let's go back over here. If I refresh, we're going to get you have completed challenge number one. So now anything I do on this specific template is going to only show here. So if we go to another post, block image, we go back to the traditional post. If we go to Hello World, we're using that template. Successfully, challenge number one. Okay, challenge number two was create a custom post type and create a template file in our theme folder that will display every single post from the custom post type in a different style other than your single post display. So we already know that our single post display looks something like this. Let's jump back here, we need to quickly use pods to create a custom post type. We're going to add new pods, create a new custom post type, and we'll call this one a book and books. And whoops, let me hit enter here. Come on, hit enter. There we go. Okay, pods are done. I don't really need to deal with, I'm not going to customize all this stuff. So here's our books. Let's add new just so that we actually have something. This is the book, The Amazing Book. Wow, isn't that amazing? All right, so we're going to publish this. Now, if we go look on the front end, let's go look on that. The Amazing Book. Wow, isn't that amazing? Notice how it still has the blah, blah. Well, that blah, blah comes from the single, where if we go back over here, the single blah, blah is coming from the parent theme. So in order to complete challenge number two, we're going to be looking for single. And again, it's not for any specific post in that custom post type. This is for all the single posts in the book. So I'm going to use single dash post type. So I go back to my child theme and let's go over here. We're just going to copy and paste. A lot of times we're going to copy and paste templates just to make life easier. I'm creating a new file in my child theme and it's going to be single dash book. Now, if you don't remember if it is plural or singular, you can go back to your pods. That's why pods is so helpful. It always has helps every which way. It is book. So even though your label is books, the custom post type is book. So we come over here and, all right, we'll just create a new one. It's not showing up. Oh, that's because I didn't save it. All right. Single.dashbook.php. So we'll paste it in here and let's go ahead and put something like this. Only show for books. You have completed challenge number two. Let's save that. So now we can go back over to our, let's go back to books. That's what I'm trying to get to. Let's view that. And what did I do? Well, for some reason, it is only showing for books, but where did that come from? Only show for books. That's I've got to figure out, for some reason, this one is single book. Does anybody see where this is failing? Oh, save. Let's see if that. The pod setting isn't going to do because we're already correctly. See, it's already correctly showing only show for books. But for some reason, the template, it's actually in here. Where's my PHP dying? This is the one you had trouble with. Okay. So let's get to the bottom of this. All right. I'm going to make sure I don't have a single book or something in the parent theme, but that should be okay. All right, in order for us to figure this out, I'm going to just copy all this. Blah. If it shows blah, we're in the right place. So that's one way you can step back and say, is WordPress loading the correct template in this area? Then I'm simply looking for which PHP section. There. For some reason, it could be when I copied and pasted, I still had like an open or a closed PHP tag. That's what was going on. So see, now our book only show, all I did was I copied it back in, saved it, and that's where we are. Does that make sense? I mean, may not make sense why it just, that was a copy paste error. But by eliminating everything, you make sure that you are on the right place, and then go ahead and put it back code back in. You can then debug it. But now, this is only showing for challenge 2. So if I go to Hello World, we're back here on challenge 1. If we go to another post, we're back on the regular thing. All right, so challenge number 2 has been completed. Challenge number 3 was display a media file differently based on the media file type. I kind of did this one already for everybody. And that would be, I'm just going to grab this where I have a PDF page. And in order to successfully complete this, I'm just going to go over here into our blank theme, new. We're going to make it really simple. Application PDF.php. Paste this in here. I'm going to get rid of everything and just go, I'm going to put this H2 tag. I'm going to move it in here. I'm going to do the exact same thing. So let's close this. H2, startup PHP, and I'm going to say this is special PDF, successful number 3 challenge finished. So again, I'm using the template, application-php. I go back to template hierarchy. I can find as I go back through, see how there's an attachment? MIME type. So MIME type-php. MIME type can be application-php. So once I've done this, I can go back into our, let's go into our media library so that I can find a PDF. All right, here's this. View the attachment page. Hold on. Why isn't that the attachment page? Is it still there? Why am I going to the home page? Oh, I know why. I'll show you in just a moment. SEO Studio is overriding stuff. SEO Studio associates media files with the posts that they're attached to. So if I were to quickly jump over in here, if we were to go turn this off, let me turn off SEO Studio just so I can show you. And then we'll deal with later on when we dive into SEO Studio where that's happening. But I just want to quickly handle this. Okay, so there we are. This is a special PDF page, number 3 challenge completed. If I were to go look at another one, now you want me to show you the actual PDF? I mean, I might have to do that another one because I have to go find the embed link from like Google Docs or something. This is just simply saying once you find the template, you can do whatever you want with it. And it will only show for PDFs because now the spectacles is showing something else, is showing a different template page. All right, BG, I'll dive in because that is a good, maybe we'll do a mini webinar on embedding PDFs outside of this. All right, so that's challenge three. So basically, if you can do all three of those challenges and get to this point, you're successfully able to navigate theme templates to know where, which template to use to customize the output or to where to put your code, where to put your style, where to put whatever. Now let's jump into the loop stuff. So we're going to dive back over here and we're going to use Loop Studio to generate a short code. So this is be challenge one from day two. Loop Studio to generate a short code that you can place on any WordPress page that will output a list of all your posts. So in order for us to do that, I'm going to go over here to Loop Studio because I want to create a little template. And our little template, add a new template, and we'll call this one our list template. List template. Template. And in this, we're going to do list item. Let's do this. Href the permalink. The title. Close that. So that's all we're going to do. Now, because we're saving this as a list item to go through to give us a title of all the posts, now we can come back over here, create our short code, our wrapper. We want to make sure it's an unordered list, or if you want to do an ordered list, that way you could count the number of posts you have. We're going to use our template, list template. Again, the instructions are show me a list of all the posts. Got that. How many posts per page? We can go all the way down. If you go over here, you can go down to minus one. That will get us all of them. And that's everything else. You can leave all the other stuff alone. So I'll go ahead and copy this short code. And we will immediately go over because it says create a WordPress page that says list of all posts. In this, we are going to not do a paragraph. Don't do that. Short code. Publish. And now we view the page. And that's not, did we grab the right template? Hold on. Because it's not supposed to do that. Edit page. Template 316935. Something's going on. So let me delete these other templates because I don't want to get multiple. Here, we'll make this. Let's make sure for some reason it shouldn't pull. Let's preview that. There we go. I'm not quite sure what just happened, but this is the successful thing. I'll have to dive in to make sure that it is loading the correct template. And so this is how you can get a list. Find out, I have 51 posts. And because we put an anchor link, it'll take us to each one of the posts. All right, so let's do the same. We're going to now do a combination of, well, the final challenge is use Loop Studio, generate a WP query code snippet that you will insert into a theme template that will change the way an archive of a specific category. So in order to figure out what we're going to do with that, let's first take a look at categories. I'd like to know how a category that has a number of items. Okay, so there's 37 posts. Let's do one, the smaller one. Here's 11 that are under the category block. So that's what we will build towards. So I'm going to go back to our Loop Studio. Oh, I could have just gone over here. All right. So we're going back to Loop Studio. Our short code creator. And again, we're going to choose a different way of displaying our items. We'll figure out something. I'm going to deal with a template a different way. I'm going to deal with the template when we get to the WP query. So our post type is posts. We want to make sure the category is block. I want to make sure it only pulls that. I also want to make sure that we are fetching every one of them. So I make sure that this is -1 post per page. So once I've now done this and I see the change here, I can come over here to our WP query, our PHP code for the page template. It should generate this. All right, this is what we ran into yesterday. Stanford, the -1 is for... Let me just refresh on this. The -1 is to make sure that we are using all of them. And there's no limit. It's going to return everything. What is going on? So I'm coming over here to figure out why there is a category type count is not defined. On line 47, so there's actually an issue with the category thing. Let's go over here and we'll try a different one. Wonder if we can, I mean, I can also do, let me try to do this one. Category in block. Let's see if that will return something. I'm not sure if it'll show anything, but well, let me go here. Here's our div. So basically, it's going to list off each one of those posts. Let's see if this works. So I'm going to copy this. And again, the instructions were make sure you can deal with the archive or like a category for that archive, category slug.php. So I'm going to go back here, create a new file. And we're going to call it category block.php. And I'm going to paste that in, and let's see if we get anything. So if I do this, let's view the block. It doesn't return anything. Let's go over here. Let's grab another category. Post it in block. Okay, so that's... Let's check... Nope. Uncategorized. Okay, so that's what it should look like. So we're actually getting something. Let me change the arguments. I'm going to actually just do this. I'm going to hard code it in category block. Let's see if that fixes it. So let's go to this and I'm going to click on. Well, that's weird. Why in the world would it output PHP code? All right, let's get the block ID. Let's get the category ID. And that'll fix it. Pretty sure. So our block one is category ID 6, it appears. No, tag is, yep, 6. Now this is weird. I have no idea why we're repeating itself. Okay, this is kind of the same thing that happened when we copied and pasted the other one. Let's do blah, blah. Okay, blah, blah is the correct, so we're in the right place. All right, there is something, maybe it actually is with this ICE coder when I'm copying and pasting and creating a new file. So basically when I just copied and pasted and then removed, it's back. So I've now been able to get, but these are all the blocks. So now maybe if I go back in and deal with category 6. Let's try this. See if that fixes and only returns that. We'll add an array. Again, right now I'm trying to just, oh, there we go. Okay, all of that was to go back to the very original thing that we'd done. It actually had to do with how this file saved in WordPress. But now you see what we've been able to do? When we list our category for block, we successfully completed challenge number 5 by only showing the archive of posts with the category block in a different manner of showing category uncategorized, as we see here. So that is the successful challenge. Sorry, that because of the craziness, that took a little bit longer than we wanted to. Did my troubleshooting make any sense to you, or at least see the 1, 2, 3 is that I go through to try and figure out what in the world happened. I don't know if other developers do this, but especially when we're dealing with WordPress and the way the template hierarchy, different templates can be displayed different ways. If you're ever caught and you're like, I'm editing this, it's not working how I thought it should, get rid of everything on that page and just write blah or hello. And see if it renders. If the word hello or blah renders, you're on the right page, and then slowly start adding things back in. I did it kind of fast, but hopefully if you need to replay and rewatch it, it will make a little bit more sense. All right. So those are five ways that I was able to accomplish the five challenges. And we no longer need template hierarchy. All right. Let's start talking about the core elements of SEO when it comes to WordPress. I know I've said this before. And again, you should be looking at the WordPress admin dashboard right now. There are many changes that happen over each year that Google and Bing and other search engines have focus on and what they are looking for or how they're ranking things. But at the end of the day, for the past 10, 15 years, there's been one thing at the heart that as long as you focus on this, you will get positive SEO. Search engines follow the crowd. I know that's kind of weird because, well, if I just do SEO, I can get people coming there. It's not as simple as that. Even in the early days of search engines, you had part of the algorithm looking at who was linking to a certain post, how many sites were linking, how much traffic was going through, what's the bounce rate of a site when somebody goes to that. And all of those are being put together to bring up a consensus of what is popular, where do people go, how long do they stay, is there an authoritative value to what they find at that location. And all of these different ranking algorithm, ranking elements all lead to positive SEO rankings. And yes, there will always be ways to hack the SEO search results. But it doesn't last long. You know how I know it doesn't last long? Because even major companies who they're pretty awesome at SEO, where they used to be always at the top of everything, they're no longer at the top of everything. Here's a perfect example. Maybe about 5-6 years ago, if you searched for a movie, anybody know what was normally going to be the top search result? Take a wild guess. You search for the name of a movie, or you search for the actor or actress in a movie. IMDb, that's what's currently basically always at the top. Used to be Wikipedia. Wikipedia has dropped to normally second or third on all movies. Very rarely, unless it's a very active discussion, very rarely does Wikipedia stay as a top result. IMDb has replaced them as a top result on movies, individual movies. Because basically now if you go search, every single first search result is going to be IMDb. Now, if you have Google turned on with your location area, maybe you're logged into Google, you might be showing not search results, but you would be showing the geographic Google information. So the other thing is, if you don't search Google, you search for some other, some other search engine that basically they filter out all the Google advertising stuff. You won't see what's showing in your area. For example, Let me pull this up. I'm going to pull up two or three of them. Give me 1 second while I pull it over onto the live screen. All right, so just as an example, I just typed in Incredible Hulk into DuckDuckGo. Well, DuckDuckGo is filtering out everything that Google would say. And basically, we're getting IMDb at the top. Now, if we use I don't even know what a current movie. Anybody know what a current movie is? I have no idea what's playing in the theater. So if anybody... Knives Out. That's kind of... So Knives Out, again, even on DuckDuckGo, even on things that are really happening, here's our first result. IMDb, Wikipedia. And yes, we've got additional information that is, you know, side stuff. So I put this all out there because IMDb has basically become a place where people go to, a place of authority, where they have interlinked actors and people. Yes, Wikipedia does that. Yes, Google does that. Yes, other sites do that. But they have done a really good job of basically doing better than Wikipedia. And it means that anything that is currently top right now, and again, you could probably, here I'll say this, in 5 years, do this same test. Like use Gmail and schedule to send yourself an email 5 years in the future and say, hey, check and see who is the number one search result for a movie. And you will find it's different than IMDb because the search algorithms are going to change. And no matter what it is that we are searching for or trying to find, you may have clients who have competitors and they've done a really good job of search optimization for this present time. But if they are not actually driving traffic, if the people are not following the links, people are not staying on the site, the search engines will eventually start changing up who is the top search results. Now, I'll tell you one of the major things that IMDb did. And here, take a wild guess. In all the algorithms that changed, what's the one thing that they probably did to increase their search result ranking? It's not paid. Because Google has already been sued to kingdom come for many hundreds of millions of dollars by not stating something's a paid link. And so now they have to wrap paid links. And yes, those paid links would be over there, but most people now ignore paid links. The number one thing that I've been able to find IMDb has done is retention on the site. When IMDb gets people to their site, all right, let's just go. This is not an advertisement for IMDb. Let's go back to DuckDuckGo. Just so that we'll be coming in through. We're not going to be coming in through Google, so we'll do Knives Out, and we'll go to IMDb. One of the things that they have started doing, guess what? First thing you are presented with is the ability to play a video. If I'm presented with the ability to play a video, and that video is, and I'm not going to play it, it's at least a minute 10 that I'm staying. There's no bounce rate. We're already past that. Yes, we've got all these other things. And the other thing that they've done is once they have you on the site, IMDb is now attempting to basically compete with the likes of Netflix and other online streaming platforms. Yeah, for some reason, I'm not sure why I'm seeing the smaller version, or why DuckDuckGo sent me to the mobile version. But yes, even on the front, on the full version, I'm presented the first thing to do is a video. But you notice how what they did for their mobile, the entire screen is a video. So you're going to press mobile retention, I believe, now has a greater weight to the search engine rankings. If you can keep somebody on your site on their mobile device, that helps the long-term rank weight, or however you want to call it. So this is the desktop, but it's still, yes, you've got your play. But most people are going to start seeing the, I don't have pop-ups allowed here, I block them, but you're going to see, starting to see advertisements pop up for their TV. So it's their competitor to Netflix. It's the free version of streaming movies and shows and TVs. This is good in terms of retention. So even now, you are getting people to stay on your site, do stuff on your site, interact with your site, and they're not going back to Google. So in one of the webinars I was attending not too long ago, from one of the SEO gurus at Google, it was part of a government learn search engine optimization type stuff. They're actually talking about, yes, Google's going to be able to, and they already do, track those people who are not blocking the tracking. But they know how long it's been that you were on that site before you came back to Google looking for something else. So there's these weird little algorithms they're looking at that are not really talked about. That if we can prevent somebody from coming back to Google and doing the same search, but going to a different place. So let me set the stage. That if I looked for Knives Out and I went to this place and then I went back and I searched for Knives Out, I could have even come back to Knives Out search result the next day and gone and clicked another item. That first one that I clicked the prior day, Google now starts to attribute that, well, maybe this specific person didn't find what they wanted from that top search result. Because according to our records in our computer, this same person has searched for Knives Out 5 different times, and the last time they searched for it, they didn't ever search for Knives Out again, which logically means they found what they're looking for. So I kind of am summarizing what his talk was about. But does that make sense? That there's such a level of artificial intelligence now being incorporated into the search engine rankings. And that's what happened with the last big update to Google's search algorithm. They've really started rolling in some of this machine learning, artificial intelligence, that is basically analyzing how people are using their search results. So, everything we talk about today, we're going to be focused on how can we get a quality search, search box. I'll call this search box for now. There's several different terms that we're going to be using after our first break. How can we get a quality one that not only gives us good rankings, but is useful for a human so that they know if they go to this location, they're going to find what they need? There's nothing better than if you can write the SEO, the descriptions, the titles, the other ranking elements on the page that gives the person everything they need to know so that they don't have to go look for it again. Or they don't have to go back and find that. All right. So hopefully I've kind of whetted your appetite for the changes in search engine rankings. The idea of artificial intelligence is really new. It's Google playing the long game for its end users, harnessing artificial intelligence. It's rolling in the search, the audio search, the voice search. It's rolling in the mobile search. It's rolling in the desktop search. It's analyzing how long somebody has been there. It's analyzing how many times has a specific user looked for something. Have they found what they are looking for? All right, we are going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to be diving into SEO Studio. We'll turn that back on. And go through the whole, these are the things you need to do for WordPress in order to make sure we are staying current with the latest stuff for Google search results. All right, so it's 1:47 right now. Let's take a 12-minute break. We'll be right back at 2 o'clock. So I will mute the mic, but I'm also going to, let's just pull over a, let's do this. I'm pulling up the editor again so I can write a note to everybody. On break. Be back at 2 p.m. 12 minutes. All right, we're going to get started up here, literally about 30 seconds to go. And when we get started, we're going to dive into SEO Studio to hopefully analyze and look at all the pitfalls and challenges with SEO, as well as making sure we're hitting all of the areas of SEO that are needed by WordPress. All right, so we are back. And in order for us to get started here, again, we are going to be using the SEO plugin as well as the SEO add-on, because there's a few things I'm going to highlight with the SEO add-on. All right, so when we activate our SEO plugin, SEO Studio plugin, we have several different areas to just know about. The first area are the overall settings of the site. The second area are individual post settings that override the default settings for the site. And then there's the third area where we're going to be going into some advanced customization. All right. So when we deal with the SEO, probably the most important aspect of SEO is the post title. You may have heard people talk about, well, you need X number of characters or words in the content. You need to have a certain type of concentration of keyword focused or whatever it is you're search building for. All of those are true. But if at the end of the day, we are human beings using search engines to find things, our eyes are always going to be drawn to the titles on the search result page of whatever search engine we're using. And if now AI is making its way into search result ranking in the algorithm, well, then it just goes to show is if we can do whatever we can to drive traffic or to get that eyeball or to, you know, hook somebody into clicking our link, it's going to start with the title. So it really is the most important part of any of your SEO. So that starts with, you know, we go to our regular posts, and I'll open it up in a tab so I can flip back and forth. And we go here to our Hello World. It starts with our post title, Hello World, the name of our site, as the most important thing. So if all of a sudden we want to do something like, what do you say to the world? And we can WP Dev Camp. Well, that's if I'm looking for what I need to say to the world, if all of a sudden my same question that I'm looking for is there, or maybe say, do you know what to say? What to say to the world? Maybe we don't even need the name of our site. But what if we have that as our title? Do you know what to say to the world? 9 out of 10 doctors say that we are programmed as humans to say hello to the world. Come learn how to say hello world to the world. So you get the idea. While this can enforce the description, the meta description can enforce what it is that we want people to visit or what it is that this blog post that we are trying to get traffic to come to our site, that it will solve their issue, the title is what is going to grab the attention. And think about yourself. When you are searching for something, I would say if we're honest with ourselves, we are looking and just glancing over the titles. And if a title kind of grabs us, we might look at the description or we might look at the URL to figure out, oh, I'm familiar with IMDb or I'm familiar with Wikipedia or I'm familiar with WP DevCamp. So I have a personal relationship with that site. And so I'm going to visit that site. So where brand awareness happens. And then do we actually look at the meta description? So if we back up and we say, okay, if titles are the most important, we start here. SEO Studio allows us to create our default titles and our default descriptions. So for the homepage, it's default site title taglines. I am going to say this right now. If you go to whatever SEO plugin you are using and you are still using dynamic tags in this area for your homepage, for your main landing page, go change it now. It's almost never that our, you know, if we go over here to our settings, the general settings of site title and tagline are going to have the refined SEO focused results or the values here. You need to make sure that you have tested, modified, customized, and trial and error. What works? What? And this is where analytics come into. Are you tracking? All right, I am going to try our site title and taglines to be, our site title would be live development training for WordPress. And then I will do things like, learn daily the tips and tricks of web development using WordPress plugins, themes, and amazing CSS tricks. I don't know. It just, you'd make this up. So you set this up. Because the title tag is going to be important. And yes, run it. This is only about the homepage. Do not let yourself, because basically leaving them as site title and taglines, it shows that we are not analyzing traffic. It shows that we are not willing to modify things and change things and test things out. So if I had a client and they were paying me to do some SEO work, I would have a spreadsheet that the spreadsheet says, all right, we are tracking certain types of click-through ratios, the amount of traffic that's coming directly from search engines, not organic, not somebody who types in the URL. We're going to throw all that out. We're simply looking for what's coming through on to the homepage from search results. And I'm going to have a line, like a column for the site title, a column for the description, and a column for when the date starts. And it might be 2 months. It might be 3 months. And then I will give the my metrics of click-throughs, number of visitors, blah, blah, blah. Then I will come back here and modify this to see if I can refine it based on other things people are searching for and visiting our site, so that I keep refining here on the homepage, because this title and the meta description is going to be one of your number one driving traffics for your default WordPress. Because remember, for our homepage, we're not really writing targeted meta descriptions, titles, all these other things, as opposed to interior blog posts or pages or vertical funnel pages or silo pieces of information or archive pages. Those are ones where we can craft very focused SEO titles, SEO descriptions. This is for our site. Now, yes, you can use all sorts of available tags that comes here, and you can use all these different keywords, current days, current months, current whatever you want. But I would say for the homepage, use this. And actually, now that I'm talking to you guys, that would be an awesome add-on for this plugin. That basically, every single time you hit save change, you get a log file of what you've done in the past. And it would allow you to revert back. I'm going to make a note of that. Because this is key. If the title tags are the most important area, that is where your methodology starts. Now, part of SEO Studio also allows you to give the default for every single post type, posts, pages, the book. Remember, because that's the custom post type that we went. This is where we can create default stuff. The default is going to give us, when we are actually on a, like here I am on my blog post, notice how there's nothing here. There's nothing set up because I don't have anything default going here. But if we come over here, again, there's going to be nothing set up because I don't have any content yet. But if I went here and I said, this is amazing, and then I start writing another crazy post with lots of results. When I preview, or I meant to not preview, I meant to save. Save draft. Oops. Hold on. Let me just. Why is this updating? There we go. I just wanted to make sure. I needed to hit update or publish. This takes the default. Again, if we go back over to our. Where's our SEO Studio? Let me go back to SEO Studio here. To the titles to meta. And we go to, here's our single post. See how the default says title, site title, post excerpt. That's what happens here by default. It starts to fill that information in by default. This is so, and you always want to make sure you have something in here, because if you hit publish, if I hit publish on books and there's nothing in here, you will still have that 404 weird error message. It's not an error message, but it won't actually include the content. So we need to put our default stuff. A lot of times it's just going to be the excerpt. It's going to be the post title. Put that in there so that when you do hit publish, if you have forgotten to put your SEO work together, it's still going to have something. So this is not where we say, all right, I'm doing my SEO work and it's done. This is your fail-safe to make sure you or your clients don't mess up the SEO by not putting anything there. This will at least try and fill things in and autofill this. But you do want to go back in there, and it would be a really good idea if every single one of your posts, pages, everything has unique things written in here. How do you know it's unique? If this is grayed out and I go click on the box and it gives me a ability to basically type to overwrite anything. So if I type anything, it all disappears. that means it's using the default. Does that make sense? So you can actually look at any post and immediately know if you're using default SEO title and meta description content simply by coming in here. And if you type anything and it disappears, it means you haven't done anything. So now if I do and I type this amazing post about flying monkeys and I put, wow, can you believe it? No, you cannot. And then I updated this and I come back to, again, I'll even refresh the page so you'll see. Notice how when we come back here and I click on this, it actually puts me in the full editing. And if I simply type something in here, the other stuff doesn't go away. Why? Because it's actual content. So that's purposeful the way SEO Studio does that. It's there to protect you. It's there to protect your clients to always have something in the title and the meta description. But it also lets you see at a glance when you're at each page, did I forget to actually craft a quality title and a quality meta description? Does that make sense? Now, the third thing before we leave this Google snippet preview, it's this area. So let's go, we're going to create a new post. And I'm sure some of you have clients that do this. Amazing title that will go on and on and on. And isn't it awesome to have a pretty looking and large title that tells the full story here? Okay. And then tiny content. Okay. So they publish it. And they're like, ooh, isn't that great? So we come back over here and we're checking things out. And we have disaster. Why do we have a disaster? A, we have a disaster because we're still using default. It's gray. So let's fix this. So we're going to do amazing title that you really want to visit. And then we fill in additional information. Blah, 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 or whatever. But we've got a problem because it's going to put an actual URL that was defined by what is in the title. So this is where we have to go in, and I think I have to, where's my, here, permalink. So this has been fixed in Gutenberg slightly. Basically, when you click on the title, you do have the permalink. It shows up as an editable thing, but that's only after the fact, after it's been published. If you are on a classic editor, you have to go up and show the slug, and you can edit it in that special slug meta box. But I have to go in here and edit so that my slug is different than my title. Amazing Stories of Monkeys. Save. When I save this, and basically I'm updating my site, let's refresh because remember, meta custom meta boxes aren't going to show up any changes because these don't auto refresh unless you actually refresh the page. That's how we've got to fix this. This Google snippet preview is built with this size. So even if you, even if we were to shrink this, and I'm going to shrink the size. Let me go back here. Okay. So it's still going here, and this is what I want to say. Even when you're on a mobile device, and you'll actually see these side by side, the reason why I've done this is if you're on a mobile device, you don't want the title to go longer than two lines, and you don't want the URL to go longer than two lines. You're not too worried about description because that's just going to wrap. Because on smaller devices, two lines. Because on larger devices and on regular search results, this will make sure you stay within one line. So regular computer screens, one line for title, one line for URL. Meta description doesn't matter. Basically, as long as you also stay under the 60 words, you are fine. But I purposely put the on mobile devices, rather than having this wrap, I can't guarantee how many characters on a mobile device are in a line. At least I was having problems doing that. So I just simply said, all right, we're going to leave the same thing. But on a mobile device, two lines, two lines. There's an update coming to SEO Studio, and that's going to be in the kind of in the description. When you do visit this on a mobile, there will be a reminder that, all right, make sure your preview is two lines, two lines. And on your desktop, make sure this is only one line. It doesn't wrap. If you can do that, because it will never wrap if you stay under 60. But sometimes we have to be told multiple ways. All right. So that deals with also the permalinks. This is very important for brand and communication, the permalinks. So you do not want in your permalinks, you really don't want numbers, dates, other things. Unless you are a specific type of blog of content, a daily content where the day or the week actually matters. People are not looking for your information date in the permalink. They might be looking for it in the description, or they might be looking for it as you'll see how we can set other things to display when the post was last published and that type of stuff. All right. So if we can wrap our brains around the title, the description, and the permalink, we're off on a really good start because that is a large portion of getting people to our site. Once they get to our site, the content matters. Not before. Once they get to our site, the content matters because that is going to basically affect where the AI enters. Are people finding what they're looking for? Are people staying on the site? This is where we deal with things like, are we interlinking properly on our site? Are we keeping people on our site? Is the content, is there enough content that somebody can't read the whole thing and be gone in 30 seconds? Are we making them consume our information so that they stay? Are we creating enough content for a person to stay? Now, how many of you have clients who you feel like, you know, they sell one product and there's not much information for me to do? It's basically, I just want to get them to the site and they're going to sell a product. We need to have people interact with the site. And so if you have a client who has limited content, you could break it into several pages. Yes, I'm talking about limited content, several pages. Well, what if this is the content? They read this, and then you're leading them on with additional buttons or click here to continue, not click here to continue, but learn how monkeys eat bananas. Click to the next thing. And then you've got a small paragraph or a graphic that's explaining how or showing how a monkey eats the banana. Did you know bananas do not eat monkeys? Click here. And you basically, you can split up a small amount of content on multiple pages. So that's doing something, keeping them involved, allowing them not to go back to Google to find something. And we keep them slightly longer on the site, and we're getting them into a funnel of ways that maybe so we can start analyzing. How are people using? We need to use our own intelligence to basically outsmart artificial intelligence. So let's go back to SEO Studio. So this is the titles. These are the defaults as we just went through. Archives does the exact same thing. If they're on the default archives, we need to make sure we are putting default stuff in here. Anytime you make a custom post type, it's not going to be pre-filled. So go fill it in. Same thing for taxonomies. In the advanced sections, this is where we're setting default settings. This is very important if you turn over any content creation to clients. Why? Because there are certain things maybe we don't want to enable or enable for a client actual website. Every single one of these can be overwritten on an actual individual post page, so we can overwrite any of these. But we want to make sure that if we're not using them, or we don't want things indexed, or we don't want things archived, or we don't want snippets created, or I mean, the other one is you may have a client who always wants to have up-to-date information. So therefore, we probably do not want a no archive, which just simply means that we're not going to allow Google to display a cached version of this page. How many of you have seen that or even used that on Google? You visit something and you'll actually see a cached version. So you can click that, and basically you're looking at an old version of the person's site. So maybe you want this as a default setting. It's not going to affect whether or not you're indexed, but this just tells Google by default what we're doing. Now, on each individual post or page, now if we had set no archive, you can do that. But if there's certain content that you don't want, go ahead and check that, uncheck it. You can deal with that on an individual post basis. So that is the number one thing you can do for your SEO. Your titles, your meta descriptions. The second one is the second thing on SEO Studio, and that is the XML sitemap. This serves, let's see, there's two main purposes for a search engine. One is to tell a search engine, here is all the content that exists on the site that I want you to know about up front. So this is like if you think about a dating website, and I'm making this up because I really haven't been on a dating website in ages. And now my wife is laughing in the background. So, if I were to, oh, thanks, you guys all heard that. If I were to go on a dating website, everything I put in my profile are things I want other people to know about me. And again, it's coming from me. That is what an XML sitemap is. It's me saying, hey, Google, I want to date you. Oh, man, now Google just popped up on my computer. And you, hold on. Okay. I have now completely messed up my search results going forward. You will not believe what Google just heard me say. You will if you actually played back the video. You'll see this in the replay. I actually asked Google, I want to date a man now, Google. Just popped up on my computer. That is literally the search it went. Because I said, I want to date you. Man, Google just popped up on the thing. And so it has no punctuation. So, yes, the wife heard that one too. So, let me get back. Okay. All right. Boy, did I just fall off the deep end on that one. This is almost, yeah. It always seems to be during developer camps that I say the crazy things. All right, so let me try and somehow right the ship and get back on track. The XML sitemap is my profile for what I want others to know about me. Now, when I finally go on that date with Google and I have presented that XML sitemap, so Google knows what I want, what happens? Google starts asking me questions over dinner and is trying to learn more about me and is trying to analyze the profile pieces that I put out and to try and say, hey, let me dig a little bit deeper. So for example, if this is, you probably have never heard an XML sitemap described this way. I have never either. It makes sense. This is basically me saying, here's all my posts. I am telling the search engines, these are all my posts. So the search engine on our date goes to visit the amazing story of monkeys. And it starts asking questions. Oh, tell me about the title. Tell me about your content. Tell me about this. Oh, are you linking over here? So let me go over to this comment and to this comment. Let me follow your links. That is what an XML sitemap is. That's why it's important. And that's why we need to understand how to manage what goes on an XML sitemap. You should periodically be going and looking at your XML sitemap. Literally, view it. And this is also why we submit our XML sitemap to Google Search Console so it can constantly be telling us when there are errors, when there are issues, when one of the files that we have said we want indexed has a no follow or a no index or a robot.txt file that has an issue. But we need to be looking at this and saying, you know what? I'm looking at this and all of a sudden I come here. Let's just say this about page is our checkout results page. So we have an e-commerce solution, and once they finish checking out, this is the page that we created in WordPress that says thank you. Well, if we created that page in WordPress, it's automatically, just about every single SEO plugin is going to automatically add it to your sitemap. So I look at this and go, oh wait, I do not want this to be in my sitemap. So I'm going to come over here. I go to the actual about page. I'm going to edit this page. I'm going to now go to my specific settings and I'm going to set it to no index. When I set this thing to no index and I hit update, I can now go back to my XML sitemap. I might need to flush my permalinks just to make sure. View my sitemap. Let's check the post and my about should no. Oh, it was page. It was pages. Let's view my sitemap. And my about should be gone. See? The about used to be right here between clearing floats and level one. By now, making sure that we are communicating to the search engines the important pages. Now, Google and other search bots may be able to find their way to other pages, but this is our profile. This is what we are presenting to search engines of what we perceive as important for people visiting our website. So while you have the number one thing is titles, meta descriptions, and the URL that we're using. Right behind that is the XML sitemap. And so the first thing is, this is how we are communicating to Google. The other part of an XML sitemap is on the right-hand side. This will say when that page, that post, that piece of content was last updated. Basically, if you hit update, there is a timestamp that changes. So let's go change this one. This is the page about markup and formatting. We're going to come over here and we are going to edit this page. It was last updated in 2013. Now we can say, oh, wow. I wonder if Google will find the new information. And we update this. Great. So now we can come back over here. Let's flush the permalinks. Let's view our sitemap. And let's go to our pages. And we should see right next to our page, markup, and formatting, it was last updated at this time. So it actually, in order of most recent content, it's going to show at the top. In the same manner of how WordPress plugins, basically it starts to fall down in results based upon how long ago it was updated. This is something, this is a side comment. You may want to, if you have high quality performing pieces of content, and you're starting to see search results change, in terms of it's starting to fall in terms of how much traffic is coming, it honestly might be time, even though it was your highest performing page or funnel or landing location, you really might need to go in and make an edit, add a piece of content, update a video, do something, and not just do what I did, but actually change or add quality content to pop that information back up to Google to say, hey, listen, there's new stuff. You got to come back. Google likes fresh content. So the XML sitemap works. Now, Sanford, there's any number of sitemap plugins that are out there. I personally use on all the sites because SEO Studio comes bundled with that, as well as an image sitemap and a video sitemap and an HTML sitemap. All your sitemaps can be managed within the same item. Now, as a quick thing, because I just want to make sure we've got enough time to cover everything. Trish, all your posts and pages should be included in the sitemap unless there's a reason you don't want it. A, make sure nothing that has robot no follow, no like text no follow behind paywalls. If you have a membership section, every single one of your member pages that are behind a password should be removed. So password protected, no follow, zero content because they're dynamically generated, like it's the receipt page for a purchase. All of those should be removed from the sitemap. You do not need them. If they have content that you want indexed, they must be in the XML sitemap. Now, what are image sitemaps? Image sitemaps are because Google has an entire image search. So, operates the same way. It's telling Google, here are the images on my site. Now, when I view my sitemap, let me come back over here. My video and my HTML sitemap. I'll pull those up in just a moment. Let me change that. Sarah, do you still get analytics for pages that are no index? Yes. Remember, analytics is also for humans. No index and other things deal with robots or the search bots. So humans will still go in there and they will still trigger analytic traffic. So let's go over to post types, because this is also how, notice how there was, we basically didn't have any image sitemaps. This is probably why some of you may get frustrated, but my image sitemaps are enabled. Well, currently we are not including the media custom post type in our sitemaps. Well, we might need that. So let's include the books as well. So when we change that, and we can go ahead and include the tags, you can choose which things to include or exclude. So now flush my permalinks, view my sitemaps, and all of a sudden, now we are starting to get a few more things. So here's my books. If we had videos, I would have a sitemap of the videos. So that also helps analyze all those things. All right, so let's jump back over here. No, I don't want that. I have way too many tabs open right now. The final thing you should know about is the HTML sitemap. This is the human version of a sitemap. Sometimes, how many of you have been to a website and they offer you the ability to see all posts or, you know, get a full map of all the content on the site? You can do that by simply using the short code. Or you can do the ID of the post where that's going to show up in. So what this means is if I come over here about the tests, if I do 1725, 1725 is now not going to show that post. It's going to show the HTML sitemap. So let's go to the site about the tests. Let's go to the front end. I think about the tests. Let's see if we can find it. I think it was right up here to the top. About the tests. See, down here, below the content, my entire HTML sitemap is here. Posts, based on, it's sorted by all the categories. That is all the content that's on the site, sorted, filtered, given with date stamps, titles, links, the amazing book, and we have no media stuff. But notice how this page markup, all we had to do was put the ID of that. Now, you don't have to do that. You can simply go create your own post, your own page, or some other location, and you can put that short code and you can grab it. And then you can go through and choose which post to not include in the HTML just by putting their ID. And you can also disable the date if you don't want that. But that's what an HTML sitemap. So when we're dealing with sitemaps, all this is a discovery tool for what you are wanting to communicate to the search engines. So, once we've done all that, I didn't want to go here. Let's go to advanced. That's what I needed. You have a few other items that you will want to check to take advantage of the latest settings for how Google handles search engine optimization and how others. Remember how I said when we were early working on that challenge and I was trying to pull up an attachment page? By default, SEO Studio, and this is something that Google has said they would prefer, is if an attachment is actually associated with another piece of content, don't allow that media file or that content to be displayed separate. We're going to throw it all together. So any attachment page goes to that post parent, or anything else I've uploaded to the media library will go to the home page if I have not associated with anything. So that's one way to do it. If you are building custom page templates for attachments, you can possibly get away with not checking this, because you're then providing content, you're providing solutions, you're providing links. But if all you are doing is just, here's this image, like using the default way of WordPress attachments, make sure you check this. So this just makes sure that any of your media is associated with the content. And that's why we had to disable SEO Studio earlier. Now, SEO Studio also has a very basic content analysis. This is not a red light, green light, advanced analysis of your writing style and everything. What it offers is one or two, well, actually it's like 10 different checks to make sure you are following through on the absolute basics. So if we were to go to our sample page where we've got content, and let's say, well, you know what? One of the things that we are wanting to target is the word page. So our target, we can say analyze the content. Now, because of the way Gutenberg works, you got to refresh the page to allow all the meta boxes to reload. So now, by analyzing page, see, that's my target, I'm able to see, all right, my target keyword was found in the post title, but I didn't find any H2 tags. I didn't find any H3 tags. There's no page in the meta title, and there's no page in the meta description. Why? Well, this is still default, so it doesn't find anything. So that's why, even though it's there in the actual, in what's being displayed right now, in the default setup, it says there's nothing there. Because there's actually nothing here. It's just, remember how I said the default is a fallback. This is an amazing page. When you want to build a WordPress page, you should build it this way, blah, blah, blah. So that now, if we say, all right, we're going to update this, and we come back over here, you're still going to, it updates automatically. I don't have to go reanalyze. So now, the length of my title is correct. None of your target keywords were found. Let's refresh just to make sure, because I know it's there. Page is there. Okay. Had to reanalyze there. Page was found one time. Page was found one time. There's no H2, blah, blah, blah. Your content is too short. Add more. Now, I can also say, at the same time, I can say, well, I'm trying to do page. Give me some suggestions for things that are currently being searched or targeted with the word page. So anybody who's typing in page is actually looking for Paget's disease. So avoid Paget's disease. So it sometimes can give you some ideas of things to deal with. Again, that's not what you're, this is very basic. I'm actually thinking about getting rid of that, but for now it gives you some basic targets. This is also a good tool to analyze every one of your posts, every one of your pages. Is it long enough? Does it have whatever target keyword that you're looking for in the post title? Do you have header tags? Header tags are how search bots analyze the content, quickly analyze the content that's on that page. So I always look at header two and header three as wrapper tags that split up content. And then your meta title and your meta description. So those are, that's the tool there built in, just making sure that we do the, I'm going to say, bare minimum of good SEO. The other things we can deal with is, remember how most of us should be writing our own URLs by default. If we don't have the time to do it, or there's just lots of content and we want to make sure nothing gets into permalinks and other things before we're ready, we can remove stop words. Stop words are everything from the end, the, if, do. We can get rid of all those small words. And there also are a number of language settings. I believe we've got German, Portuguese, French, Dutch, and Spanish stop words also already in here. So if you are writing in multiple language, we will remove those words as well. A number of you helped me with those. So remove categories. So this gets rid of those subcategories that might show up in a URL. This is also just removing a few things with RSS. This, it's put in here. I have Control Studio also handles this. I have a number of overlaps from a few different plugins, so I'm trying to possibly analyze removing a few of those items. This is also helpful for when you set up your Google Search Console and you're integrating your client sites or your own sites. It's going to give you a verification code. It'll probably say, put this verification code in the header, the top of your site in the HTML. Well, you need to put that and keep that in there. So you can put it in there and you can leave it in there so you don't have to actually mess with any template files or anything like that. There's two other things, and I'm actually running out of time for today's webinar. Basically, we have to end here in about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. When we are looking at the add-on plugin, I still have left in the page speed. So periodically, I would encourage you to come to your site and after you've done a whole bunch of work, remember that our titles, meta descriptions, most important. XML, second most important. The content you write, third most important. And fourth is the speed. All of those deal with the AI looking at how long do people stay on the site, how do they interact with the site, and what do they do on our site. And so this runs a page speed report with Google, gives you suggestions, and it pulls it all into this location. Why is it looking like this? I mean, there's a lot of plugins that pull this data. This is the straight API from Google. It also makes it super easy for you to take screenshots, take elements out. You can send the entire report by mail. It'll send it to your, I probably should do email because I am not going to send you a postal letter with this printed off. So send me this report by email. You can then put all these things in reports for your clients. Copy and paste. You don't have to put all of these things, but I mean, it's probably a nice idea to put all these stuff once you get all the check boxes going green. A, you'll have a fast site, great report to run for a client, and you can issue those reports every quarter. Here's what we're doing. Here's how are we doing on our page speed. Great. All sorts of good stuff. All right. In the coming year, we're going to do a lot more with SEO Studio. There's also a big update coming for SEO Studio. Why? It's because of this. There are a number of SEO plugins out there. You're going to have clients that have different SEO plugins that are coming. Currently, right now, you can install this on a site that was using Yoast SEO, and you can migrate everything over, and it'll just bring all your work you've done for title tags, meta descriptions, keywords, canonical URLs, all that type of stuff. It'll bring it over. The next update also deals with all-in-one SEO, WP SEO, and if I can get the time, there was one other SEO plugin that has been brought to my attention that we will migrate as well. Why is that important? Because all the work you've done with other plugins, if you like the simplicity, and it's also, SEO Studio is fast. It doesn't have lots and lots of back-end interaction. So it also does this one thing, that everything is turned off by default. See, Dublin Core, local business is turned off, structured data, breadcrumbs turned off, Google News turned off, RSS customization turned off. If you want, whoops, not there, but if you want to turn any of those things on, even this, what about if you don't want to use titles and metas? Great, you don't have to. What about if you want to use another plugins, XML sitemaps? You can turn it off. And SEO Studio will just go into the background. So let me refresh, and then I've got to get off because I'm running up against the clock here. Titles and meta description, number one thing you can do for any site. The XML sitemap is there. So I hope you guys have a great rest of the day. And I will talk to you all tomorrow, and I'll upload the replay here in just a moment. Take care.